From what I've seen in the last 10 years, Zombie Takeout should be banished from the universe. Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
And from beautiful, sunny Chicago, I'm Scotto.
Well, that doesn't necessarily cut down on the sun, does it?
No, in fact, the clouds are, you know, disappear because it's just too cold for them.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, they have to be water.
For historical reference, at this time we are recording, it is currently negative 15 degrees outside, and my furnace is just chugging along.
You're in the center of what's being called the polar vortex.
Yeah, it's my second one since moving here, actually.
And it has extended to the coasts. Not that I'm in any way comparing, but it is unusually cold here, but it's really just for the weekend.
For a couple of days. What you guys are experiencing now, we kind of have all the time.
That's why I would make it very clear I'm not complaining. It's like, just unusual for us.
Like, the forecast for tomorrow has it like the high of like -3 or something like that. Yeah. And it was very pretty close to what we had on Friday, and nobody made a big deal out of it. But because it kind of sunk to -20 this morning, everybody lost their shit and we like closed everything down.
Well, my only point in mentioning that was that it's spreading throughout the country, or at least to the east coast.
Yes, it is.
Before we get to this week's show, a couple things to... Well, first off, we might as well do some feedback, since I want to make sure I don't forget it until the end of the show, like I did last time. This is from Bodo on Twitter in reference to this week's movie, 2019 After the Fall of New York. After the Fall of New York, a disastrous movie. It has it all. If you like Car Wars, Space 1999... Geico Cavemen, Crossbow Guns, Jeff Foxworthy as Henchman Number 2.
Oh my god, I have that in my notes. At 4:45 minutes and 11 seconds, Jeff Foxworthy of the 21st century.
I didn't notice him.
Oh, yes.
I'll have to go back.
Yes, I did. I fell out of my chair.
And something that happens to Sleeping Beauty while she's sleeping to save mankind. You might like this. I didn't. Thank you, Beto. Apropos. Something that happens to Sleeping Beauty, I will definitely be talking about. I was not prepared for that because Beto didn't give it away, fortunately. But before we get to that, just a little want to mention that I saw Solo finally over the weekend.
Solo, Star Wars ago during our break.
Yeah, Solo, a Star Wars story. The latest Star Wars movie. The fact that it took us both till it was on Netflix to watch a Star Wars movie.
If you told me when I was 10 years old that a Star Wars movie was going to come out, but I wasn't going to make any effort to see it, and in fact only saw it because like, oh look, it's on Netflix. Yeah. Let's watch that tonight.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people agreed with us because it got horrible reviews, or at least it didn't really do well. Having said all that, I really liked it.
Same here. I thought it was a really solid movie. There was some, except for the stunt casting at the end.
The Sith Lord?
Yeah.
There's precedent for that in the Clone Wars. It makes sense if you've seen the Clone Wars.
That's really bad, though. I mean, you know what, though? I was thinking about it, though, afterwards, and I think it only makes sense if they were using that to set up the Obi-Wan movie.
Possibly. That storyline, his turn in that direction, and what happened to him after the last time we saw him, is all covered in the Clone Wars. So it didn't faze me for that reason.
The Sith Lord would probably really want to hunt down Obi-Wan Kenobi, regardless of where he is.
Sure.
So that would drive a plot to the Obi-Wan prequel that they were thinking about.
Which I believe they also covered in the Clone Wars with that Sith Lord's brother. It's a whole thing. I would say, as far as the new movies go, it's my second favorite after Last Jedi.
You know, I really did like Last Jedi too. I also liked Rogue One as well.
See, I didn't care for Rogue One. I think I've talked about that.
Yeah, I think the only one I could say I really didn't like was Force Awakens. Because it was just too much like New Hope.
I totally agree. I would say Last Jedi has higher highs than Solo does, but it has some serious flaws. See our review of it about a year ago and my comments on it in our holiday special review. But Solo, on the other hand, is just solid throughout, just doesn't quite hit those same highs. It's just a great, solid heist movie.
Like, I mean, I haven't gone back to watch Last Jedi again, but that throne room fight still sticks in my brain. Like, that was like a, you know, holy shit. Yeah. That was some good stuff.
And I just love how they, you know, subvert all of the assumptions you have going into the Star Wars fan. Love that. But yeah, Solo, absolutely recommend it if you have Netflix or other ways of seeing it, if you like Star Wars. Also found out an interesting bit of trivia. I posted this on our social media today. I think I found this out a couple of days ago, though. So on Star Trek Discovery, which I'm still loving, the second season, much more conventionally Star Trek, they've recently added Captain Pike.
Oh, yeah?
He's currently the captain of the Enterprise, as they have this whole season-long storyline. And Pike is played by an actor named Anson... Oh, I have the wrong name here. Let me look it up. I have Anson Williams. I think that's from Happy Days.
Ted McGinley. Maybe not. Except, I mean, Ted McGinley as Captain Pike would kick ass, I think. I don't know.
There's an Anson on... Yeah, Anson Williams is on that.
And it would kind of be a really cool nod that Star Trek has jumped the shark by having Ted McGinley
on it. The actor's name, I'm sorry, a Freudian slip there of putting Anson Williams in my notes. It's the actor's name is Anson Mount, who plays Pike. Name rang a bell when I saw him in the credits. Eventually got around to looking him up on IMDb. It's the guy from Crossroads, the Britney Spears movie.
He's
playing Pike. And he's brilliant in the role. But yeah, the guy from Crossroads is now playing Pike. Interesting bit of trivia. We have the same birthday. He's a year younger. And just with all of that out of the way, on to this week's movie, which is from 1983, 2019, After the Fall of New York. I knew that was going to get slightly confusing for me. And that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Tropes. There are enough of them at the wall and you just might end up with a storyline.
And also brought to you by Big Apes Insemination Clinic. Hashtag not all apes. All right, so we start this scene of
We start New York. With the trumpet guy.
You know, I think he may have really been playing that trumpet too. He played the trumpet that sounded a lot like a keyboard trumpet, of course, somehow. I don't know how that happened.
Something about it reminded me of the DJ from the Warriors.
Yeah. He was used. Yeah, they were big fans of the Warriors, you know, the makers of this movie, obviously. But we don't really stay in New York in the beginning. It's very odd. We wind up in the desert. Or maybe that is part of New York. Maybe that was Staten Island. I don't know. Staten Island looks a lot like the Southwest.
I know he's brought to Alaska and then sent to New York, so it's hard to tell.
Right. They have this crazy road warrior thing out in the Southwest or wherever it's
probably
supposed to be.
It's desert.
They're claiming, that New York was nuked, yet the surrounding area became the desert and New York is still standing. If you can figure that out, you're a better man than I.
Yeah.
But that's what they claim. They drop the bomb on New York, and everything else around it's wasted, but New York is still standing. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they missed. Who knows? That's a possibility. And they somehow had New York without the Twin Towers in 2019. I don't know. I don't know how they called that one. And they knew about Pizza Rat. This foretold the existence of Pizza Rat. Ah. Or was it a guinea pig munching on somebody? Anyway, so there is one fertile woman left alive. How they know there is one fertile woman left alive, I don't know. Technology is terrible. The future is on
horseback. It's like the Jedi Council. They have they just know that someone's going to be force sensitive. These guys just know fertile woman.
They know there's a fertile woman out there, and somehow people suspect a woman of being fertile. crazy.
But they still have to put her in a lab to test to make sure, but they know.
They send Snake Plissken out, or off-brand Snake Plissken. Yes.
Hair Metal Rambo, as I took to calling him.
Hair Metal Rambo, to go out to get him. With him, they send two red shirts, a pirate red shirt, and a guy that looked like, I don't know what he looked like.
Look, picture Rand, the undercover cop guy, or, you know, the hobo undercover cop from every early 80s cop show.
Oh, okay, yeah. They send him with these two guys, two characters that are completely undeveloped. They
Ratchet and Bronx. I was still holding back a video game joke.
Right, so they send them out. They with them. They could have had characters developed, and you know, you could have actually given a shit about these guys. Except they give him two lines. Like, he saw his family die in front of him, and the other guy just kind of like just does stuff.
He's got to wait till retirement.
Yeah. And the big reveal towards the end is such a ridiculous, like, of course he was. Yeah. Like, how did you not understand that? With, like, oh, he just fell from long distances with absolute precision.
When he breaks his chains like they're clay.
Hey, you're not a human, man. Like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. I thought you knew that. You're the last person in this theater that figured that out. But anyway, so they go in, they fall, they get ambushed by a gang. They fight this gang, but they're taken prisoner, and or they're kind of guests. I don't know. It's weird. He winds up fighting for. No, he doesn't fight for the woman yet.
They come in. There's kind of this big fight when they first find them. They don't get it. You know, they have to fight the gang first, and then when they get invited in.
They get invited in. He sticks up for a smaller guy that they're ready to just kill. And he winds up taking their girl somehow. Oh, that's right. Just when things are starting to get bad or go south, the red boots, black boots come in, the Uraks, right. Which they took a page out of 1984 with, you know, that the continents are combined, yeah. Sort of, and
Asia,
how the nuclear war happened.
Asia, Europe, and Africa fused into a single civilization who just happened to be the bad guys.
And they're all white.
Mm-hmm, that too. Well, I think both sides are in this movie.
Yeah.
For the most part.
They're all Italian, I think.
Well, yes. Just a quick bit of trivia, because I don't have much. The movie is of the post-apocalyptic Italian genre, similar to the films 1990, The Bronx Warrior, or Bronx Warriors, and Endgame. So apparently, post-apocalyptic Italian is a genre. We should look into it more.
It's like a spaghetti western, only a dystopian apocalypse thing. But anyway, they fight their way through. They get captured, though. The pirate cyborg.
Well, they're both cyborgs. They both kind of are, come to think of it.
What?
Cyborgs.
Oh, I guess you could say Bronx was, too.
Yeah. He's got a mechanical hand with kind of a pincer on it that he uses very creatively toward the end, or toward his end.
But they wind up escaping. They go out and seek this fertile woman,
which was the one thing that was a bit of a curveball to me, because I thought she was the one they had rescued was going to be the one fertile woman.
Yeah, you really did think that, and he even says so. But he, you know, of course, is just using that to throw off their scent. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we get a little more Mad Max action for them to get out of the city. And hilarity ensues. Mm-hmm.
And it opens up with a model shot. I have never seen a more obvious model.
Drunk History uses some obvious models.
Well, I mean, in a feature film. I've seen some low-budget, you know, independent, you know, YouTube stuff with obvious models. Obvious, you know, unabashedly so, but this is... I think they thought they were pulling something over on people, but they just I expected to see Hot Wheels cars. And then just straight up exposition. Mr. Voice, as they used to call him on Trailer Clash, just tells us the backstory straight for, you know, in just exposition.
Pretty much reading 1984 to us.
Mm-hmm. It's just the most generic post-apocalypse movie I've seen. It is paint by numbers. I mean, I'm spoiling a gag at the end of the show, but it's paint by numbers post-apocalypse.
And they took Escape from New York and Mad Max and they combined the two.
Yeah.
It's really just as simple as that, I think. Only it's a spaghetti, you know,
spaghetti version, right.
Style. Yeah.
The movie's being set in a dilapidated New York, I think, allowed them to kind of scrimp on the sets a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the sets are like falling apart during these fight scenes, and it kind of makes sense given what happened, but right. It also just means they're cheap sets. And what the fuck was with the clown?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's right. That you've won victory in just repeating the same damn thing over and over again. I don't get any of that.
Parsifal, hair metal Rambo, off-brand Sadiq Puskin, you know, beats up these guys in this Mad Max beginning. We're in a car and it's a whole, you know, ripoff. He gets back to his tribe and there's this clown vending thing or one-eyed bandit sort of thing that goes on the spiel and then he wins these coins. That, and apparently he wins a woman too, because she starts calling him master. She's on the back of his bike. He just throws one over on this these corpses near a couple of horses in an RV and gives her freedom and says, this gives you the rights to all of their stuff. We didn't see anything about the coins after that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he gave it away. He gave, a license to kill.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, none of that made any sense whatsoever. In fact, really, they could have just begun the movie when he's getting taken into Alaska.
Right. Because it's all spikes in the desert, and it makes no sense.
Right.
And then he suddenly gets taken to Alaska because the Pan-American government needs to find the one fertile woman. Apparently, everything that's left of the U.S. government moved to, you know, the North American government, because they're going Pan-America, maybe South America as well, goes up to Alaska. And they're going to be settling on Alpha Centauri. They have a ship ready to go to Alpha Centauri to settle there, and they need to find the one fertile woman. And you know, Hair Metal Rambo points out you can't repopulate humanity with one woman. And they say, well, she's got about 50 eggs.
There's still the same problem.
Yeah.
There's still eggs from the same woman.
Despite what some people want to believe, genetic diversity is a good thing.
Right.
It's kind of a necessary thing.
I'm just kind of watching when he's, you know, I'm like, I'm glad he's pointing that out. I'm wondering how they're going to address that. And it's just like, well, she's got all these eggs. It's like, that's not what he's talking about.
No. So he gets sent to New York to find the one fertile woman.
Alpha Centauri's going to have some sister brothers or sister moms.
And he immediately gets it. Well, these three doughy, nondescript white guys get sent to New York to find the one fertile woman.
One guy looks like Richard Mulligan.
Yeah.
From Soap and Empty Nest.
He looks like everybody's high school history teacher with an eye patch.
Yes, he does look like one of my history teachers. Exactly. Oh my God.
They get into a fight with this street gang, who of course are all black. And I couldn't resist hearing that bit from West Side Story.
Hey, if this were a musical, I think this would have a lot more brains than it's going to get.
Yeah.
I'd be all on board with this.
If this movie had any clue what it is,
the post-apocalyptic musical
was at all self-aware, it would get all of the brains. But unfortunately, and of course, when they get to that group who takes them in after the fight, they're all mutated except for the attractive blonde. Which made me think she's probably the target, because she's obviously the love interest.
I thought they were going to throw us from like the the disfigured woman from the beginning was going to be the one, but nothing ties in to anything. You just go along and they just keep throwing shit at you.
Like the scene where Ratchet, the history teacher with the eye patch, just breaks these chains behind him like they're clay. Silently.
Yeah.
He rips the chains in half silently. And then flips backward and disappears.
Yeah, that guy might not be completely human.
And obviously he's going to come back later and save them.
Yeah.
So they get captured by the bad guys. Yurak?
Yes. Or
whatever it's called. And they're being tortured and, you know, pumped for information. And Anya, the hot, I want to say SS, you know, the hot Nazi.
Yes.
Is trying to pry Hair Metal Rambo for information. He escapes and she says, quote, she wants her men, you know, the guys she's controlling, to check every hole. So, you know, basically scour the city for him, but she says check every hole. Because the stuff that happened while they were captured, not really relevant. They break out.
Yeah.
The undercover cop bum guy sacrifices himself, but takes out one of the other Imperial Nazi guys' eyes in a very nice move.
Yeah.
One of the few good parts of the movie.
Actually, so that led to some of the best effects, I think, when they were replacing his eyes.
Yeah. That was kind of creepy. And about 40 minutes in, it was starting to grow on me with how weird it was and just how horrible it was.
Yeah.
We get the actual apes. Ape men. They're called ape men. Like the character is called Big Ape. They're actual apes. Somebody doesn't understand evolution.
Yeah, I don't know if they thought that people were going to breed with apes.
Or devolve.
Or devolve. It was a very strange thing.
If New York had turned into a jungle, maybe. After a very long period of time, possibly. But no. They just wanted to make ape costumes or possibly borrow ape costumes from Planet of the Apes, because that wouldn't be the only case. The weapons used by the white-suited guards of the Pan-American Confederacy look exactly like the weapons Jane Fonda used in Barbarella that are even featured on the posters. If they aren't the same props being recycled, they're exact replicas.
And the Urex headquarters, was that a brewery or do you think that was a milk pasteurizing plant?
I would go with, well, Italian production. You're not really into beer. I'd say probably milk.
They've got their Italian beers out there.
Yeah, so but it's not yet show, but it's not really.
Peroni.
Oh, okay. Now, I have to admit, I nodded off a few times during the last half hour. After they left Sleeping Beauty, well, they find the actual last fertile woman. She's sleeping. She's comatose in this glass and metal case and has been for like most of her life for 20 years since the bomb dropped. Apparently, they knew what was going to happen, so they put her away.
Yeah, to shield her from radiation.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get to have a life.
At some point, they find her, and Hair Metal Rambo leaves her with Big Ape.
Yes, and he makes it pretty clear what he's planning on doing.
Yeah. Well, later he says it was intentional. He knew Big Ape was going to rape her and inseminate her. Yeah, that was part of the plan.
Big Ape does a first-class Charlton Heston impression, by the way.
Yes, he does.
Yo, he talks like this the whole time.
And, of course, they have to escape New York. Yeah. And head back to Alaska.
And was that an Apple III in the background of the professor's studio, by the way?
Could have been. Probably was, yeah.
I mean...
Probably somebody had one on hand.
They really thought computers were just going to be the same as 1983.
There were some nice moments on the escape. I liked Percival having to steer through all the spikes.
That light up.
Yeah. Apparently they were metal, so they could pierce through the tires, but they also lit up.
let's do these stealthy spikes to get rid of them, but let's light them up so you can all see them and dodge them. The fuck?
Also liked Big Ape throwing a sword and decapitating like five guards. Very trauma.
Ridiculous. The drive-by mass beheading. That made me LOL.
Yes. Now, did they ever really establish why cyborgs were evil in this universe?
I don't know.
Because they were cyborgs.
Yeah, just because they weren't people. And of course, that illuminated spikes thing, they were definitely thinking video game there, whole scene.
Because I think I like that because there were some similar bits in WoW. Where you have to like walk between mines.
Like this was the era too that Atari would make a video game for some shitty movie, and it would be you'd get more money from the video game than you would the movie. Even.
And this is really well suited for one of those games.
Yeah.
Now there was another little bit of a curveball. I didn't expect the blonde Giada, or Giara as she's called on IMDb, to die.
They foreshadowed that. Before they have sex. Let's act like it's our last day.
Oh, I missed alive. That line. So I made it off.
Oh, they are so. She is so dead.
Yeah. Okay. And you know they bring back the last fertile woman to the Confederacy.
We need to review the movie Hot Shots.
Yeah.
Where they do the whole dead meat bit.
Right.
How's your work coming along on the Kennedy assassination? Oh, I've got some great information. I'll tell you about it after I get back from the mission. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty obvious.
Right. So they bring the last fertile woman back to the base.
I was very disappointed there was no Klingon death yell when Giada died. Mm-hmm.
And they make Hair Metal Rambo tell her what happened in the last 20 years. As she's waking up, as the base, which turns out to be the ship, is taking off.
One of my favorite parts, the lifting off of a rocket, you know, like the G-force and the gravity you'd be fucking feeling.
And they're just standing around.
Whatevs. Oh, by the way, what's been going on over the last 20 years? Well, let me explain to you. We're only lifting off into space.
They don't actually have that conversation because she wakes up and sees his face as the ship is taking off. No G-force.
Right.
But just some weird, creepy green lights that really make him look like the Hulk.
They're just, but they're about to have a casual conversation while blasting off into fucking space.
Apparently the inertial dampeners are really good.
Oh, yeah. So I smell sequel. What do you think? 2020 after the fall of Alaska? 2030 they want the maybe it's about the kid, maybe it's like after it's the fall of Alpha Centauri,
right?
So maybe like 2040 after the fall of Alpha Centauri,
or he actually somehow they rescued his offspring from Giada. You know, she was pregnant when she died, but they somehow rescued his offspring, and he has to come back and fight his kid.
I think Giada was sterile, though, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So it'd be Big Ape's kid.
Yeah,
be the leader of the next one, and off-brand Snake Plissken can be like Obi-Wan, his guide.
Big Ape's kid ends up running the Confederacy. Hand this off to the people who made Iron Sky. You know, and he brings off-brand Snake Plissken back for one more job.
that actor, he only did four movies and then just like left. Went on to he has a company that makes glass of some sort in California.
The actress who played Anya, the hot brunette who, Nazi, was actually working up until like 10 years ago as an actor. She also was a model. So that was surprising that somebody from this movie actually sustained a career afterward.
Oh, I think a lot of these guys did like Italian movies.
Okay. Yeah.
But that Michael Sopkill.
Yeah. Okay.
I saw the name. Stage name. Yeah, and he's not Italian either. He's from Connecticut.
Yeah, I did notice that. I did look a couple of them up. I didn't really pay too much attention to, you know, what they had done since then.
Apparently, someone brought him in as an extra back in 14 for something called Bad Dog and Superhero.
You know, I just realized Michael, whatever, Hair Metal Snake Plissken, was Off Metal, the guy who played Deathstalker in the second movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was an off-brand version of him. And the blonde, I knew this the minute I saw her. And if you remember the 80s well enough, you will get this reference. She was off-brand Anne Turkell.
Oh, I don't know if I remember
her. You don't remember her? An actress named Anne Turkell, worked in the 80s, looks a lot like the blonde from this movie. But what I'm really hoping happens, now that it's been rebooted, is that MST3K takes a shot at this.
Oh, of course. They need
to do this movie.
Yeah.
Underbrains?
I mean, I had so many. Let me...
Okay, go ahead.
What did I have here? He's not really playing the horn. Could there be anything more useless than a crossbow on horseback? Uh-huh. Are they going to fight or dance? The music comes up.
Yeah. I had a bit from the West Side Story during that first fight. During the fight with the Rat Eaters, I was immediately thinking, you beat it.
That guy looked a bit horny, don't you think? The one that got killed with the horn. He's getting his mission from Matlock. Pirate red shirt really did the yellow beard punched in the back bit.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you doing? What do you want? Oh, I'm so glad I looked at my notes before we got on here. One of the most annoying parts of this movie. First, I thought it was the soundtrack with that little squeal.
Yeah, the gun sound was horrible.
The humpback Wales boys choir. Like I said. But then I realized the second time the Uraks attacked that it was their crossbows.
Yeah.
Making this. That
was a horrible sound effect.
Horrendous that they would use that. Big Ape has some great camouflage because he's walking around in like this red silk shirt. Dressed by GLAAD.
Big Ape was basically trying to be a pimp.
Dressed by GLAAD, capes by Hefty.
Nice.
The dress, of course, I'm talking about the daughter when she's in the Cobra, she's wearing like this saran wrap. Or was it a Dexter? Was her father Dexter wrapped up?
She may have been the best actor in the movie. I really believe she was unconscious.
The little guy killing himself was so weird too. Mm-hmm. Like, just I don't get any of that. And I'm pretty sure the giant leap was landing on the moon.
Yeah. On the brains. There were some moments that amused me, but overall, it was. I don't even say it was torture. It was just, I'm going to go 1.5.
This is a really bad movie, but I enjoyed watching it, so I'm giving it 3 brains.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what have we learned?
You can have 3 writers and still not have enough writers.
And I learned that Deathstalker can be turned into science fiction. All right, that's it for 2019 After the Fall of New York. Until next time, when we'll be continuing this ridiculous monstrosity of a series. I didn't explain that. This is 6 movies in a row set in 2019, 3 B-movies, 3 major theatrical releases. Next up is Heatseeker. This one it features Tim Thomerson, so, I mean, that's a point in its favor.
Not familiar with this one at all.
Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are.
And just because we amused ourselves so much before recording, we're going to list off our prospective episode titles because we had a lot this week.
Let's see. You want me to start?
You go first because I think you had a shorter list.
I had 2019 Winter in New York, Spaghetti Dystopia, Mad Mario, or Intrepidos Junks, callback to an earlier episode
of Intrepidos Punks.
Yeah. Or my favorite, the Royal Canadian Kilted Uraks Man.
Almost the title, but it was a little too long. I have Rape Ape, George Miller built my hot rod, which will be used in a future episode when we get to a proper Mad Max ripoff.
Oh, of course. And we will. You know it's going to happen.
Based on a movie by John Carpenter, only a model, generic post-apocalypse number 12, post-apocalypse by numbers, gentrifying the post-apocalypse, Earthworm Pliskin and the Model UN, because at one point they hide out under the UN, Earthworm Pliskin and the Littlest Belushi, because there was a little person in the movie who looked a lot like Jim Wally Belushi. Belushi.
John, I think.
Yeah. The one we ended up going with, Deathstalker of the Post-Apocalypse, and my favorite, but it was too bloody long, the doughy nondescript middle-aged white guys take Manhattan. See you next week.